Amen. Amen. Good morning. There's just one other announcement. On Wednesday we had this Christmas celebration here. How many of you were here on Wednesday evening for that Christmas? It was awesome, wasn't it? They put on a great show, and there were so many people who were involved. And instead of listing out names, I just want to congratulate and to thank everyone who was a part of making sure that celebration was a success. Could I ask those of you who participated or helped out, could I ask you to stand and just be recognized? Can we give them a hand? They did an awesome job. Yeah, guys, come on. Is Megan downstairs? Megan was downstairs? Megan downstairs? Okay, yeah, Megan's also in there. So thank you guys so much. You guys were a blessing to this church, and we are so grateful. We are so grateful. Well, this morning I want to begin by just passing on a piece of lifelong advice and wisdom that I received when I was a child. And I want to pass it on to you. Now, this wisdom and this advice is invaluable, okay? It has benefited me so many years throughout my childhood and throughout my adult life, really. And I want to share it with you because it's so important. And I want to pass it on to you because it's worth passing on. So I'm going to give this to you right now. Okay, are you ready? All right, here it is. Do not eat the yellow snow. What was that? Did you guys hear what I said? No, nobody here? Well, I have no idea what that sound was. Did anyone hear what that was? Oh, well, unfortunately, I was only giving it out one time, so nobody gets to hear it. I'm telling you, that was a piece of gold advice that I just gave each and every one of you, and now none of you get it. Why? Because you were distracted, right? You were completely distracted. Your attention went off of my voice and was diverted to something else. Your attention was diverted elsewhere. And you know that's exactly what distraction does. And this morning, we're going to talk about distraction. Now, you all just missed out on an invaluable piece of lifelong wisdom. That's a shame. It really is a shame. But I'm not giving it out again. It's just going to be for me. So your distraction caused you to miss out. Okay? Your distraction caused you to miss out. Now, that's exactly what distraction does. And it happens to us all the time. And we live in a world that's full of distractions. Everywhere you turn, there's distractions. You can be distracted by your relationship with somebody. You can be distracted by technology. You can be distracted by your workplace. You can be distracted when you're in your car. There's distractions all over the place. Distractions all over the place. If you've ever watched a sporting event or if you've ever played sports, distraction is a major tactic used by players on the field or on the court. If you on a football field and someone starts talking about your mama, your sister, or your girlfriend, man, your focus is completely taken off the task at hand. It's a tactic used, distraction, to get your mind off of what you're trying to focus on and what you're supposed to be doing. I remember reading a story about Yogi Berra, the great Yankee catcher, and Yogi Berra would just run his mouth. He was great. He just constantly ran his mouth. And if you ever played baseball, one of the tactics of a catcher would be to distract the hitter. All right, so the pitcher and the catcher, they know what's coming. They know the pitch that's coming. And so the catcher would speak to the batter to try and distract him. Well, this one case, Yogi Berra was behind the plate, and he was crouching behind the plate. And up comes the plate, no other than the great Hank Aaron, right? One of the best home run hitters of all time. And he steps up to the plate, and he's focused, right? He's zoned in. If you ever watched Hank Aaron, he was just zoned in all the time. Well, here's Yogi Berra behind the plate, just yapping away like he does with every hitter. And he starts saying to Yogi Berra, as these pitches are coming in one by one, hey, Hank, you're holding the bat wrong, man. You're holding the bat wrong. You don't hold the bat like that. You're supposed to hold the bat so you can see the trademark facing you. The trademark is, and he starts running his mouth. You're supposed to read the trademark, Hank. You're holding the bat wrong, Hank. Next pitch comes, and Hank Aaron just crushes it out to left center field into the bleachers. Hits a home run. And so Hank Aaron's trotting around the bases. Goes to first base, second base, third base, coming all the way home. And he gets to home plate where Yogi Berra is, and he says, man, I didn't come all the way down here to read. Yogi Berra was one of those, he was so focused. That man was so great at what he did. He would not get distracted by anything. You ever been to, seen a college sports game or an NBA college game or an NBA game, and when the players are shooting free throws, all the distractions and the fans that are behind them, they'll put up pictures of funny-looking pictures just to distract the player from doing the job or the task at hand. So distraction is something that we face all the time. It is something that we face all the time. And it's something that I've been really thinking about in my personal life and in the church life. And I've been wondering a lot, how much are we actually missing because of distraction? What are we missing simply because we're distracted? How much are we missing because we're distracted? Not only in our personal lives, but corporately as a church. How much are we missing of the voice of God? And how much are we missing of His leading and His direction in our personal lives simply because we're distracted by so many things around us? Whether it's the busyness of life or maybe it's a situation that you can't seem to let go of or get past. It's staring you in the face. You can't get past it. It's this distraction. Sometimes we get so distracted with our own agendas in life that we lose sight of what's important. Dallas Willard once said that distraction is the greatest enemy to our spiritual life. And you know what distraction does? Is it removes you from the present. It removes you from being present in the moment. And I think if we're all honest, that's something that we all wish we had a little bit more of, to be able to be present in the moment and less preoccupied with so many things around us, right? To be able to be present in the moment, to be distraction free, to be free from distraction, to be able to sense God's leading and direction in our lives, to be free from distraction and be present in the moment. And so what we're going to see this morning is that distraction actually prevents us from being present with our Lord in the moment. Distraction prevents us from being present with our Lord in the moment. And there's a passage of scripture in the book of Luke that we're going to turn to that really speaks to this problem of distraction that we have and how that it can cause us to miss out on amazing opportunities, just like you guys missed out on that beautiful piece of advice that I gave to you. You all missed out on it. Man, it's gold, too. It was gold. If you ask me later, I will tell you again. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, says this. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And he had a sister, and her name was Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. All right, pay attention to that, because we're going to come back to it. It's very important. Here's his sister. Her sister's name was Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted. With all of her preparations, as she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen that good part, and it will not be taken away from her." All right, so let's take a look at this picture for a minute. All right? Here is Jesus. He's visiting with some very close friends of his, Mary and Martha. They're the sisters of Lazarus. Now, these ladies loved Jesus. They loved him. They loved him with everything inside. They desired him. They desired to serve him. And they even knew him as Lord. She says, "Lord." So they recognized him as God. They recognized him as Lord. And so it is their desire to serve him and to please him. So here they are, they invite him into his home, and they're offering hospitality to Jesus, and he's the guest of honor. And if you ever have guests in your house, you know there's tons of work to be done, isn't there? There's so much that needs to be done. And yet it appears as though only one of these ladies was actually doing the serving. It appears as only one lady is doing the serving, and that the other one is just sitting around and doing nothing. That's the way it appears. Here's Martha. All she wants to do is please her Lord. To serve him, to do the right thing. And in a sense, she thinks she is right. She thinks she's not the one in fault. And I can just imagine Martha going around doing all the preparations. I can just see her. Can you imagine her? She's walking around, and you probably all experienced this week in Christmas, didn't you? When you had guests over your house and you're hosting parties. Here you are, you're doing all the prep, and you have these thoughts in your head. I can't believe my sister is she seriously going to sit right there while I do all the preparation? I can't believe this. Now, here I am trying to make dinner. I got five things on the stove. Is she just going to sit there? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I cannot believe. Is she serious right now? Right? Oh, man. And her sister's just hanging out. She's not cooperating. She's not helping. It appears as though she's just chilling. She's just hanging back and doing nothing, just chilling there. And so Martha's frustration begins to boil, you know, as we've all been there. Don't try and tell me you haven't been. And I can imagine those thoughts in her head. And then it's obvious that the frustration gets to be a little bit too much. She's had enough. And then she begins to present it to Jesus. All right, Lord, you take care of this situation. And she had enough, and she decides to call her sister out. And she says, Lord, do you not care that I'm sitting here doing all the serving and my sister's not doing anything? Tell her to help me. We've all been there. Doesn't my situation matter more? Isn't my perspective the right perspective? They're the one at fault. All right, Lord, you take care of that, please. We've all been there. And so she gets Jesus involved to set her sister straight, because in her mind, she's doing the right thing. She was not in the wrong, and she was not at fault. She could not see her own fault in the situation. And there's a valuable lesson in here that is too good to pass over. It really is a sermon all in of itself, but I don't want to pass through it without mentioning this. You know, Martha could have kept all these unpleasant thoughts about her sister inside. You know, she could have allowed it to breed bitterness and resentment and anger towards her sister. And she could have held on to it for months, but although her heart was not in the right place, she brought it before Jesus. Even though her heart was not in the right place about her sister, she still brought it before Jesus. She engaged Jesus in conversation about the situation. And how many of you know that when you include Jesus in your frustrations and you ask him about it, and you ask him to help you out in it, that he will gently show you and he will instruct you and he will gently show you where you're in the wrong? Although she was looking for him to justify her, he definitely did not do that. He pointed out what she was missing. Bring your frustrations before Jesus. Talk to him about them. Don't just let them boil up inside. So let's take a look a little deeper at this scenario. Here we have Martha, who is completely distracted by all the preparations, which means that her attention was pulled away from what was going on, and it was diverted elsewhere. Jesus is in her house. He's sitting down at her table. She knows that he is Lord. She calls him Lord. The Lord is in her home. He's conversing with her friends and family members. He's fellowshipping with her, his friends and family members. He's building relationships with the other guests. And yet she's so distracted that she misses out on the Lord spending time in her home. The Lord is sitting right in front of her. And she's so distracted. Misses out on spending time with her Lord. All she could see was the distraction in front of her. The preparations, the setting the table, the cooking the food, the making it clean. And it distorted her ability to see things clearly. There were so many more important things going on at that moment. But distraction got the best of her. And then there is her sister, Mary. In verse 39, Luke uses a phrase to describe Mary, and he says that describes her as sitting at the Lord's feet. Now, I just want to expound on this just a little bit, because we may get a little bit confused. Now, although it's very possible that Mary was sitting directly at Jesus' feet, the chances are that she was not sitting directly at his feet at this time. She could have, obviously, but for first century Jews, this was a phrase used. This was an expression used not to describe her location to where Jesus was or her proximity to Jesus, but to sit at someone's feet was an expression used to indicate a relationship between a disciple and a rabbi. Another example of this is found in Acts 22, where it says that Saul of Tarsus was sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, right? Gamaliel was his rabbi. And so he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, which indicates a relationship between disciple and rabbi. So to sit at someone's feet quite simply means to be their student, or their protege, or disciple, learning. Someone who has chosen to be with the rabbi as much as possible in order to learn everything they possibly could from this rabbi so that they could be like them. And at this particular time period, disciples tried to be around the rabbi everywhere they went. Everywhere they went, not just in formal teaching sessions or settings, but they actually even competed with each other to be with the rabbi when he was fixing meals, when he was doing the chores. And I read that they even competed to be with him and follow him while he went to the bathroom, because they were convinced that he would say a prayer that they had never heard before. That is devotion. That is devotion right there. First century Jews even had a special blessing that would express the amazing commitment of a disciple and a rabbi. And they would say to each other, "May you always be covered by the dust of your rabbi." May you always be covered by the dust of your rabbi. Which simply meant, may you follow him so closely that the dust that his feet kicks up is what covers your face and your clothes. May you follow your rabbi so closely that the dust that his feet kicks up would cover your face and your clothes. This is how close they were. Disciples never wanted to be out of the sight of their rabbi. And it wasn't so much that it was the particular activity that the rabbi was doing that was important. What mattered was being with the rabbi, whatever he was doing. They saw every activity as an opportunity to learn from their teacher and how to be like him. Everything the rabbi did, every single activity, was an opportunity to learn from their teacher on how to be like him. So when Luke uses this reference to Mary as the sitting at his feet, it's used as a reference to the posture of her heart. Posture of our heart. The great Charles Spurgeon once said, as he was preaching from this text, he said, "The mere posture of sitting down and listening to the Savior's word was nothing in itself. It was that which it indicated. It indicated, in Mary's case, a readiness to believe what the Savior taught, to accept, to obey, and to delight in the precepts which fell from his lips." You see, to sit at Jesus' feet was an act of service. It appeared as though Mary was not serving the Lord at all. It appeared as though Martha was doing all the work and serving him. But to sit at the Lord's feet was an act of service, an act of worship. Mary saw the perfect opportunity to listen and to learn and to absorb all that Jesus was giving out. And she would not let herself get distracted or caught up in the distractions. Remember when Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're bothered about so many things, but there is only one thing that is necessary. Your sister Mary, she chose it, and she will not let it go. And it will not be taken away from her." You know what that one thing, what Mary chose is? It was being with Jesus no matter what else was going on around her. No matter what she was doing, no matter how busy she was, no matter what distractions were pulling at her, being close to Jesus and hearing his words in the moment was the highest priority for her. Being close to Jesus, hearing his words, observing him, everything he was doing was the highest priority for her. She did not let herself get caught up in the busyness of the distractions around her. This is what it meant to sit at his feet. It's about taking time to ask Jesus to be our teacher in every single moment of life. It's about becoming increasingly aware that he is trying to teach us. And what is he trying to teach us? Or what we would actually say or do in a situation like we're in the one we're in. No matter what situation you're in. You know, you ever find yourself in a distraction and you notice that this is taking you away from the main thing. And you got to step back and just say, "All right, Lord, what is it that you want to try to teach me in this moment? How can I learn from you in this moment? How can I glorify you and worship you? How can I respond and react the right way in this moment?" This is the one thing that was necessary. You see, we can be sitting at Jesus' feet while we get dressed for work. We can be sitting at Jesus' feet when we're in traffic. We can sit at Jesus' feet when we're out to lunch with our coworkers. You could be sitting at Jesus' feet when you're in the grocery store picking up your groceries. You could be sitting at Jesus' feet when you're in your quiet time with Him, just praying and kneeling before the Lord and just praying and talking with Him. You can be sitting in Jesus' feet, whatever you're doing. Being close to Him. Listening for His words and His direction and His leading and guidance. Being in His presence was this one thing that would not be taken away from Mary. It would not be taken away from her. It was too important to her to allow distractions to pull her away. She was not going to let herself be distracted by anything, but chose to be with Him in the moment. You see, distraction is a very subtle obstacle that will keep us from being present with our Master. It will not keep you from His presence, because His presence is with you everywhere you go. His presence lives and resides in you everywhere you go. But distractions prevent us from being present with our Lord in the moment. If we allow it, distraction will pull us away, leaving us unable to hear what He says at the moment, unable to hear and sense His leading and guiding. You know, Martha was a follower of Jesus. She loved Him. She invited Jesus to be in her home. And yet she was so distracted that she didn't even notice God's presence right in front of her. She called Him Lord. She wasn't doing anything wrong. She wasn't doing anything sinful. She was just distracted. She was serving Him. She was loving her Lord. All she wanted to do was please and to serve her Lord. She wasn't doing anything wrong. She was just distracted. And distraction causes us to miss out on the closeness of our Lord. Distraction causes us to miss out on the closeness of our Lord. And I would suspect that many of us are like Martha. We've got really good intentions. And we've invited Jesus into our home, but we end up missing out on His presence, not because we've rejected Him, but simply because we're just distracted. We're distracted with the busyness of life. We're distracted with a situation that occurred, maybe a conflict that we got into, and we can't seem to let it go or get past it. We get distracted. The tragedy of this story that we just read is that while Martha is striving tirelessly to serve Jesus, she misses out on an opportunity to sit with Him and get to know Him more. And then Mary had the same expectations on her. The food still had to be prepared. It still had to do things around the house. But the difference was she was willing to put aside whatever agenda others had for her or that she had for herself and instead respond to the invitation of Jesus to just sit with Him. Be with Him. Listen to Him in the moment. Not get caught up in the distractions. And so this is the lesson for us all today. To recognize every situation and every circumstance in life as an opportunity to sit at the Master's feet. To listen for His voice, His direction, His leading. Every situation and every circumstance is an opportunity to know Him. So we've got to fight distraction. Fighting distraction is something we all have to do if we desire to be closer to the Lord. It's going to take a conscious effort. We have to be aware of the distractions in front of us and recognize them in the moment and say, no, I'm not going to allow this distraction from taking my eyes off the Lord. I'm not going to allow what's in front of me right now to distract me from what's important. I'm not going to allow this distraction in front of me to prevent me from being able to hear the voice of my Lord or to hear His guidance or direction. I'm not going to allow this distraction in front of me to prevent me from growing and learning and getting to know Him more. I'm not going to allow this distraction to distract me and pull me away. I'm not going to allow it to divert my attention. And so we have to fight distractions. We have to fight it. There has to be an awareness of the distractions around you. Don't let distractions keep you obtaining all that God is wanting to pour out on you. He's wanting to teach us something in every moment. And so let us all be like Mary. She knew that listening to Jesus was an amazing opportunity, one that took precedent over everything else. She did not let herself get distracted, but remained focused on what the Lord was saying in the moment. Amen? Amen. Anthony, can I ask the worship team to come on up? What we're going to do is I'm just going to pray for us all. close out the new year, as we close out the service. It's been a good year. Even if it doesn't look like a good year, God was doing something in your life. And when God is doing something in your life, it's good. It's good. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord, you are incredible. And I thank you, Lord, for your word and for the riches of your word, that you are able to teach us and mold us and to shape us through your word. I thank you that your word creates eternal change in us. And Father, I'm asking you first and foremost, Lord, to make us more aware of your presence in our lives. I'm asking you, Lord, to allow our minds to be in tune with your mind, and our spirits to be so in tune with your mind, your spirit, and our hearts to be so in tune with your heart, that we are recognizing you in the moment of everything that we go through. Lord, it is our desire to get to know you more. It is our desire to grow closer to you. It is our desire, Lord God, to recognize you in the moment of everything. And so, Lord, I'm asking, help us be aware of your presence, no matter what it is that we're doing. Lord, I also ask that you would give us the strength, the ability, and the courage to fight the distractions when they come our way. These distractions that are trying to pull us away from the main thing. And the main thing is you. The main thing is your mission. The main thing is why you've called us to yourself. So Lord, give us the ability to recognize distractions when they come, to fight them off, not allowing them to pull us away from the most important thing, and that is to sit at your feet every moment of every day, listening for your voice, recognizing your guidance and leading of us. But we are your people. Your word says that we are here to represent you on this earth. And so, Lord, if we are going to be able to do that, we need to be free from distractions. So, Lord God, I'm asking you to give us the ability to fight distraction when it comes, to recognize distraction, and to toss it away so that we keep our eyes focused on you and what it is that you're trying to do, say, and share with us in the very moment. I thank you for each and every person that is represented here, Lord God. I thank you for what you've done in their lives this entire year. God, I'm excited. I'm excited for this new year, for each and every person, because I know that with you in our lives, only good can come out. Only good. Though, Lord, it may seem like we're not in a good situation, or that we're in a situation that there is no hope, the truth is that you are our hope. The truth is that all things work together for those who are called according to your purposes and your love. So I thank you for those promises that we hold on to so very dear. Bless this congregation in this new year, I pray. In Jesus' powerful and precious name, we pray these things. Amen?